and good. And so the Father of lights gives to us the perfect gift. And I believe that this gift is referenced back to James chapter 1, verse 5. If anybody is in a perilous time, if anybody is in trouble, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Why did he say that? Because before that, he says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials. Brothers, count it a gift from God when he brings unexpected trials in your life that you don't know what to do at all. You're at total loss. You feel like it's just a wreck. What do? James says, count it as a gift. How in the world are you going to do that? James says, you're going to need wisdom. And so what do you do? You're going to pray for intellect? No. He says you're going to need wisdom that comes from God, something that only God can give. And he said, you need to make sure that you're not deceived about the origin of your troubles and that you're not deceived about the outcomes of the good at the other end, that you realize that this is from God and you receive it as from God. So to think about the good and perfect gift, we're going to be in James 1:17. And of course, we have to reference 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, where it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And of course, that's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was in glory, in chapter 8 it says, and everything was belonged to him and all things were his, it says he's laid all that aside and took upon himself our poverty, that we through his poverty might become rich. And we thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And of course, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not your conjuring. It's not your good ideas, but it is a gift. It is a gift of God. It is a perfect gift. It's a gift with a warranty. But it's a gift that we need to guard at all times. So even though we're in desperate times and we're desperate for the perfect gift, we're not in unprecedented times. The seasons remain the same. Again, there's hunting season and there's Christmas season. Both of them are alike in this. They both are time for seeking. In both of them, it's actually important that we take aim, that we shed off distractions and look at the one thing. Don't look at the antlers. Look at the part that you want to hit, where the living's done. And that's the same way at this time. Both are alike in seeking and taking aim. Both require time and attention, and both of them require decisions. You decide every year what you're going to do with Christians. You know, there's a lot of, I would call it Christmas allergies, where people have an allergic reaction to gifts or the giving or commercialism of Christmas. Well, it's not all about the gift. It is all about the gift. It's all about God's gift to us. And for us, it's all about receiving that gift in the right way. It's time. They both require time, attention, decision. It's a time for seeking. Wise men, after all, still seek him. Really wise men still seek him first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What things? Well, the things that are actually needed, not all the things that are wanted. We don't worry about them. That's what the beginning of the chapter is about. Wise men still seek him first, and wise men still seek him on purpose. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. Seek where Christ sits at the right hand of God. It's seeking on purpose. It's seeking with an aim to hit the target. It's being set. Wise men seek to get and to give the perfect gift. Those wise men back in the Bible's day, they had received a revelation and they sought to give the appropriate response to that in thanksgiving to bring their gifts. Looking, seeking, hunting for. It's all their idea, all there in James. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, that tells me that if you make it happen, it's not a perfect gift. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. This verse says that this gift is not just a good gift, it's a perfect gift. A couple years ago, I bought my grandchildren bows and arrows. And they were, so it's a big box, and it's the last one that they open. And like I said, it's a big box. And so, you know, they're little and like 6 and 8. And so it's a big box and they're all excited. And then they open the box and the youngest one tells me, he says, well, it's a good gift, not a great gift, but a good gift. And that made me do some thinking. I'm like, it's good because, well, we need that to play with granddaddy. It's not great because it's not what we really wanted, or it's not great because it's not really on time. It was too soon. Sometimes we give gifts too soon. I think it's the American way to, you know, give gifts way sooner than children are able to appreciate them. And that's another, that's a, with God, in God's wisdom here, it's the verse before this passage. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived about the origin of good gifts, and don't be deceived about the origin of bad things, of temptations. And so God doesn't give us things too soon to be a perfect gift. That's got to be on time, right? It's just right, just the right timing. And so we give people these things, you know, before they're ready for them. And we want that for ourselves. We want everything. We want everything now. And we don't, and we get upset with God for making us wait. I prayed for this. We prayed for wisdom. You know, a lot of times we pray for wisdom and we say, and God didn't give it to me. Yeah, God did give it to you. He told you to wait on the Lord and patiently for him, and he will bring it to pass. He told you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But you're like, gotta have it now. I gotta know now. I've gotta make my decision. I gotta move on this thing. And so, what, you know, it's a good gift because we need it. It's not great because we don't wait for it. James 1:17 is a good and perfect gift. It's good because it's a needed gift, the gift of wisdom. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it a gift when you're surrounded by things you don't understand. You don't know the answers to. That's why they're trials. You're surrounded by opportunities to make the wrong choice. How do you count it a gift? Well, you can because you know that the testing of your faith is producing strength in your life. And then it says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I just had to read that verse because there's maybe hunters watching this, and perfect is the word we get teleos from, a telescope, to see to the end, to the end of a thing. And so everybody's got their rifles scoped so they can have the perfect and complete lacking of nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God. James says, if you cannot see what God's gift your daily life, your mundane circumstances, if you cannot see the good in that, then you need wisdom. You need a good and perfect gift. You need the wisdom to be able to see God at work in everything. And that makes it good because you need it. That God prepares us to ask for wisdom by bringing these things about. He makes us feel the need. Like Adam, when he's in the garden, they're all by himself. And he comes and he names all the animals. And he notices that they all got mates. And he doesn't. And he's like, scratches his head, I have a need. And God said, that's what I've been waiting for you to realize that you need that need. And then God meets that need, and now he has the perfect gift because he wants it. And then he delights in it. He goes, the paraphrase of where he calls Eve is like, wow, wonder of wonders. And he delights in her above all. Now there's one caveat here, that wisdom is there for the asking, but it goes kind of like this. It's hunting season, right? And so here's something that I hear a lot in hunting season. I can't believe you missed it. What they're talking about is a buck. Oh, well, you missed it. But what about the innkeeper? What about Herod with Jesus? I can't believe they missed it. That's not an oh well. That's an oh hell. You can't afford to miss it. You can't afford to say good enough is good enough. That you have to have him. To miss him is to be lost. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And there the word sin is a word that was used to describe missing the mark. And it wasn't just an oh well. The wages of sin is death. We dare not be cavalier about this. We can't afford to miss. And that's why James says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Why do we miss? How do we miss? We miss because we're deceived. We're easily deceived. We're easily deceived. If you look at this passage, verse 16, what comes before it is we're easily deceived about the origin of bad things. And then what comes after verse 16, the good and perfect gift, we're easily deceived about the origin of good things. We're easily deceived about the origin of bad things, like Eve in the garden. It was suggested to her. You know, you get these thoughts in your mind, these little suggestions. You ever wonder where they come from? Well, you need to wonder where they come from. We're told to bring every one of them to cross-examination to find out where they come from. Eve got a suggestion, and it was suggested to her that God was holding out. He was holding back something good. There were options out there that she needed to be open to. And so she wanted to be open to these options. And so she listened to that suggestion and that God was holding back good. And she took the bait, sinned, missed the mark, and plunged into hiding and pretense. And the rest of the world has fell into sin as a result. It's no small deal. It's nothing to be cavalier about. We can be deceived about the origins of bad things. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone else. But everyone is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires. That's why at the beginning of this chapter, God says the number one desire should be wisdom. The number one desire of your life when you're in trouble, when you don't know what to do, when you're at various trials. You need wisdom. You don't need more options. You need less. You need to zero in on the one important thing. And you need to heed James 1:16. Be not deceived about where these promises are coming from. It's interesting. James says, be not deceived, my beloved brethren. He's like, it's not like, here, I'm trying to slap you in the face with reality. James is like, I love you guys, and I don't want you to think that these offers are from God. And then on the flip side of it, the other side of it, not the flip side, I guess, is verse 17, the good and perfect gift. Be not deceived about the origin of what is good. There's a lot of promises for good out there that aren't from God. And if you are God's people, they're not good to get. You know, you can get what you want and it'll be your undoing. I one time read a story about an eagle. Yesterday I was hunting and I saw an eagle. He come in and he glided across and he banked like this. And so I could see his white on his head and tail so good, there's no mistaking he was an eagle. And then of wonder of wonders, I was reaching for my phone, which I don't know how to use anyway, but I was reaching for it because it has a video on it. And he landed about 75 yards from me in a tree. And anyway, back to the eagle. I heard this story about an eagle who some hunters had found. And it was like kind of hunched over and its wings were out. And it was looked like it was struggling. And they went over and it died. And Hunter put his foot down and kind of kicked the thing over cautiously, and out ran a little weasel. And they surmised that the eagle saw the weasel and said, I want that. And he went down and he snatched the weasel up and pulled him up into its body as it flew away. And the weasel did what weasels do. And he bit the eagle and started looking for the jugular vein. It took hold of the eagle's neck and the eagle got what it wanted, but it was its undoing. And we could do that, you know, and James says, look, you're my beloved brethren. He said, the good and perfect gift never has teeth attached. Never has barbs in it. It does have strings attached to the will of God, and that's a good thing. So we can miss the good and perfect gift by being deceived or being distracted. Not all that glitters is gold. Amen. And James says here, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And then he talks about good gifts coming from above, from the Father of lights. They're not ashamed of what is in the light. And not fooled by all that glitters, thinking that represents true light. This is also a reference back to the double-minded. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is keeping all the options open. He isn't heeding verse 16, be not deceived. We miss because we're deceived. We miss because we get distracted. When you're distracted, we're bad at aiming. We can be deceived by being double-minded or having a double vision, a desire to keep the options open, double vision, thinking that we can be in or out. But the one who tries this actually misses out. James 1, 6 and 7, look what that says there. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything. Mark that in your Bible. You know, we don't do that a lot of times. He won't receive anything. That's sobering to me. Why would anyone do that? It reminds me of Rehoboam in the Old Testament when he had the kingdom was given to him from Solomon and Jeroboam, and all the people came to him with an ultimatum, and they said, "Your father made our life rough with a heavy task, and And so he went and he talked to the old folks and they said, look, if you will serve these people today, they'll serve you forever. Then he went and talked to his peers and they said, you tell them if you think my father's hand was heavy, my thumb is going to be heavier than his hand. And if you think he whipped you with cords, I'm going to scourge you with scorpions' stings. The old men told him, if you serve them today, they'll serve you forever. And he took the hard line and he did not receive anything from the Lord. Doubts. Why would anybody do that? Because of being deceived about the origin of what is good for me, of what is the temptation, what is reality, and what is not. It's why would anybody do that? Because they're doubting. They just can't trust and obey. There must be another way, would be their line to the song. James 1:8 says, there is another way, and it is an unstable way. Jesus put it like this. Whoever would save his life, save it for himself. This is my life. I'm going to do with it what I want. Whoever will save his life will what? Lose it. But whoever will throw his life away for my sake will gain his life, will gain purpose, will gain reality, will live a life rejoicing in the good gift of God. James 1:12 says, happy is the person who is a one-way person. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, who sticks with the one thing because it's the right thing and he knows it. Because he's not deceived about the origin of wrong and the origin of good. He's fully persuaded in his own mind. And he stands with God on this. He connects it with what was before. And he closes the door. He's the happy man. He refuses to opt out because of doubt. So the perfect gift is for all, and in because it doesn't, because of what's before and what's after. It doesn't leave an aftertaste, if you will. Proverbs tells about the people who got their own way. It says, and then they, it's like gravel in their mouth, or they, you know, and that the person who goes for the seductress woman in chapter 7, it says, you know, that her lips are sweet and smooth and it's like wine and everything is just so beautiful. And then he says that he finds later that it's poison, the aftertaste. But with this perfect gift, there is no aftertaste. James 1:17 says, here the gift is perfect. Its gift is perfect because the giver is perfect. He always knows what is best. Therefore, he has perfect timing. I mentioned this at the beginning, and I'd just like to refer back to it. It's perfect timing. He knows when, how to season the gift and how and to make it more appreciated. He knows how to make it treasured. You know, wisdom is treasured to God. And so he wants it to be treasured by us. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that when do you get wisdom? When you want it more than anything else. And then he says it just comes to you. Surprise. That's part of a perfect gift, right? We're surprised here. It says, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not. That there's no reserve. And it's a surprise to the one who gets it, who needs it, and who wants it, and delights in it. He's surprised that there's no condescending, no belittling. It's just great. It's a perfect gift because the timing. It's the perfect gift because it shows God thinks about us. God's thoughts are on us when we're in trouble. You know, you say the perfect gift, it's the thought that counts. God, when he sees us in trouble, he's preparing us to ask for wisdom and to give it liberally. And so this timing is that he wants us to know the worth of it and to know what it's worth to him. So it's great value to both. And because it's great value to both, the gift and the giver and the getter, it's treasured. The perfect gift is on time. It's thought through. It's treasured. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing doubting. We're not deceived about if this is good or bad for us. It is God's will for us. It's a perfect gift because it can be trusted. It comes with a guarantee. It will guard you. And then it comes with a warning that we need to guard it to make sure that we don't let it drift. It'll keep you if you keep it. It's a perfect gift. You can trust it. You cannot lose with it. You cannot lose with it. And you cannot win without it. We need the wisdom of God. So, you know, this is like another way to back the truck up. You know, is that the gift of problems and troubles. We need them. We need resistance to be strong. So it can be, it's the perfect gift is on time, thoughtful, treasured, trusted, and then it can be trashed. It can be ignored. You know, what's the opposite of love? You know, I love this gift. What's the opposite of love? It's not hate. I hate this gift. It's apathy. I could care less about this. They don't think about it. It can be trashed by being ignored. It can be trashed. It can be scorned. Mr. Faith faced both ways in Pilgrim's Progress. Look, you know, they were watermen. Bunyan says the watermen they rode one way facing the other, trying to keep all the options open. Is just another way of scorning God's gift, God's assurance that one way is the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not only does no man come to me, but nobody experiences him except by that. The good and perfect gift. To be good and perfect, it must be received then with thanksgiving. It must be received with thanksgiving, and it must be rejoiced in and rejoiced over. All this basically came to me because when I got the opportunity to preach, I was reading it, was on November 2nd, so I was reading in Proverbs 2, and it's told there about wisdom being received and rejoiced over. And in Proverbs, then I went to Proverbs 8, and it said, wisdom rejoices over the works of God. And it's a personification of wisdom, rejoicing in the things of God. And then I thought of what C.S. Lewis said when he said, for something to be fully enjoyed, it must be shared. And so God is wisdom, and he wants to share wisdom, and he wants us to experience wisdom, and then he wants us to give. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the delight, wisdom shared is the delight of heaven. It's the delight of God, and it's the delight of humble men. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, the God who created all things, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And you have singled us out, your people, to give to us your Son and to give to your Son us as an inheritance. To give us one thing, one purpose. and to grant us wisdom to be able to see the origin of deceitful desires, to see the origin of delightful goods from your store. Father, we pray that we will rejoice in you, that our rejoicing and receiving your gifts with thanksgiving will be the consummation of our delight and will echo to the people around us. What the world needs now, as Chuck Colson used to say, is for the church to be the church. These are not unprecedented times, but these are perilous times. And it's time for the church to receive your gifts, to live in your bounty, and to be your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen.